have time to preach a sermon. The youth have made sure of that. They didn't have to hear me one last time. But I just want to share a few things with you, seniors, just a few notes. Even though we won't get to do our full sermon today, I'll save it for next time. So before we start, let's pray. Lord, it's so cool that we can set aside a Sunday of parents and family and friends gathering around our seniors and celebrating an accomplishment, a huge accomplishment of 13 years of school, and probably in some of them's cases 17 or 18, I don't know. Lord, I pray that you'll bless their time in college and away and studying and pursuing their dreams, mission trips, even to Hawaii, and the things you have lined up for them, God, and your plans for them. Pray that you would use it in their life in a special way. Use our time together today, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. How do you really know that you're a follower of God? How do you really know that you're a God follower? I'm not talking about pointing to a baptism certificate or pointing to family that go to church or talking about your membership somewhere or some rituals you have been through. But how do you know that you're a God follower? It's not just a membership or a letter or Bible knowledge or if you can quote John 3:16. What does it really mean to be a God follower? I want you to think about this morning, and just for a few minutes, is if you're a God follower, or if you're a follower by definition, you go where that person goes. Amen? If you're going to follow him. I mean, attending church makes you what? A church attender. It doesn't make you a Christian no more than being in a trunk of a car makes you a tire tool. Or being in a lion's club makes you a lion. You can't be in a place, a building, just some walls and say, well, that I must be a Christian. I must be a follower of God. Being a follower of God means going where Jesus went. Being a follower of God means going where he went, but also doing what Jesus did. Loving who Jesus loved. Doing what Jesus said. When you look at the Jesus of the Bible, you can't just look at him and say he was just a nice guy. He was much more than that. He was a revolutionary with a group of misfits who were he had chosen to be his followers, and he turned the world, the Bible says, upside down with those few followers. Some people say Jesus was either liar, lunatic, or Lord. We know him as Lord. He invited us to carry a cross, our own cross, which as we know is a painful, humiliating death. The outsiders who looked at Christians then knew they were idiots. They were zealots. They were trash. Some called them fools. Some called them prisoners. But I'm not sure we get that a lot today, do we? I'm not sure people look at the church and scream idiots and zealots and fools for Christ or trash for the Lord. So what is it to be a follower of God? Sometimes we think to be a follower of God, you have to dress a certain way. You have to act a certain way. You have to go to certain places. We make it about behavior. But Jesus wasn't crucified because of his behavior or being respectable, was he? Jesus was crucified because he brought a revolutionary message. a message that is inverted to what our normal thinking would be. This is the reason they said we got to get rid of this guy. It's the reason Jesus was murdered, knocked off, if you will, because of the message that he brought, who he claimed to be. He says, I am God. And I'm bringing a whole new set of ideas. I'm bringing a whole new philosophy to the table that's eternal in nature. And because he came with that kind of message, he calls us to a different kind of lifestyle. If we're going to be followers of God. God's not looking for half-hearted people. He's not looking for the casually devoted. And he's not looking for lukewarm believers. Sometimes we as Christians are about as committed as a kamikaze pilot on his 32nd mission. We're just not there. We say we're going to do it, and we're going to jump in, and we're going to get our feet wet, and we never really jump in wholeheartedly, or as we say in the South, whole hog. We're not all in, if you will. To love God and to be a follower is to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as ourselves. And sometimes we think, I love God, but come on, Jeff, let's don't get weird or carried away. What would people think? Jesus said for us to be witnesses to him, to share our faith. But it's awkward. It's kind of weird. And I'd rather just pray for them. Jesus said to love your enemies and to pray for those who use you and persecute you. But we think, I'd rather just ignore them and not speak to them and get secret revenge somehow. Here's the deal. We get to choose if we follow God, but we don't get to choose what it looks like, do we? We have sometimes our picture of what our comfortable, cozy Jesus looks like, or our comfortable, cozy Christian life, and we embrace that. But we're not embracing the Jesus of the Bible, nor are we embracing the message of the Scripture. Because Jesus' message is radically different than a lot of ways we live, right on? And it's difficult to be radical. It's difficult to be a renegade. It's difficult to make the hard trip, to make to hoe the tough row, if you will. Following Jesus, living a surrendered, selfless, abnormal, obsessed life. We can't just be happy with what others are doing. And I want to encourage you guys, as you make decisions in the days and weeks and months and years ahead, don't just look around at what everybody else is doing. Because often what everybody else is doing is not right. Often what everybody else is doing is something that God's called them to do. So we can't look and measure ourselves and go, well, they're doing this, or they're reading their Bible sometime, or, you know, they never really attend church, or they never really follow God and take. No. We have to listen to God for ourselves. And as we follow God, and as we look to new things that God has planned for us, it's going to make us uncomfortable. It's going to be out of our comfort zone. It's something that you wouldn't do without big faith and a big God. It's so different that many Christians, even Christians, don't live that way. You can't play it safe. It's waking up every morning and going and approaching every day with an attitude of, God, what do you want me to do today? In this moment with my life. God, whatever it is, I'll do it. And sometimes it'll be ordinary things. But sometimes it'll be extraordinary things. In the movie, We Bought a Zoo, somewhere in the movie, anybody watch We Bought a Zoo? I can tell you what it's about, just read the title. They bought a zoo. But in the movie, We Bought a Zoo, there's a couple things that happen. And one of them is one of the boys is always saying, whatever, whatever. And the sister's like, that's all he ever says. He won't do anything, but that's all he ever says is whatever. And the dad is like, whatever is the laziest word in the 21st century. Whatever. And sometimes we allow that to creep in our lives, don't we? The whatever. Oh, whatever. We'll just go with it. Just roll with it. And we can't always do that as we follow God. We can't just say whatever. Can we? We can't just play it safe. One of the guys in the movie We Bought a Zoo also said something about this insanity of being crazy for 20 seconds. 20 seconds of crazy. Sometimes God will call you to do things in your life that will take you 20 seconds of insanity to make the decision. And it's a good thing. Just 20 seconds of making a really good decision that isn't easy to make. Can I give you an example? I wouldn't be married today had I not made a 20-second, took 20 seconds of insanity in my life and made a tough decision. I left church on a Sunday afternoon from Lake Park, Georgia, and I was driving to Valdosta to have lunch with my parents. And after we had lunch, I said, I'm thinking about riding over and seeing my friends in college. So I left and went over to the apartment where Tiffany and her roommates and all live, and I thought some of my friends were going to be there, but none of them were there. And I knew Tiffany. I thought she was hot. I knew she was cool. I knew I liked to date her and all that good stuff. But, man, I was scared. I mean, because I knew I'd outpunted my coverage. There's no way. I mean, look at me and look at her. It's crazy, right? I mean, she has to be blind and dumb, and I have to be really smart and can see really good, right? I mean, that's the way it works. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to do this. And so I went up over to the house, and just Tiffany's car was there. And I thought, okay, you know, those quick calculations. Okay, my buddy Kenny's not here. Heather's not there, roommate. Christy, roommate's not. Man, I know. It's probably just I'm not going up there. It'd just be weird. But I wanted to go up there. I mean, I wanted to go knock on the door. You know what I'm saying, guys? He's like, okay, come on. Nah. I can. And that's where I was in the truck. And if you could have saw me, you'd probably laugh because I was like, drive, reverse, drive, reverse. I couldn't decide what to do. And so, guess what I did? I hit reverse and backed out. Driving down the road. And I don't know if it was God told me, because I don't know if God does this, but something to me said, you stupid idiot. And I went, you're right. Whoever said that, you're right. So I turned the truck around, and I drove right back up to the drive. And I marched myself right up to the door, and it was just Tiffany. And guess what? She was watching NASCAR Daytona 500. I'll never forget it. Guys, if you drive up on a girl's house and she's there watching Daytona 500 by herself, get her to sign it, ask her to marry you right then and right there. Amen? Right? That's good stuff. And so I thought, heck yeah, this is all right. So she said, come in and sit down, and I'm watching the race with her, and I don't know how long it was. She said, what are you doing this afternoon? And I said, I got to go preach at my dad's church tonight. And for some crazy reason, I said, would you like to go? And she surprised me and said, yes. I thought, well, there must be another guy there she wants to see. But anyhow, it was me she wanted to see. And so she got in my truck, and later we went up to church. And that night, I didn't know it. I was preaching from a passage in 1 John where it talks about love comes from God. And that's the only way we can love other people, is if the Holy Spirit pours love into our heart. And we pour love in other people's lives. And so because of that 20 seconds of insanity that it required of me, God gave me a beautiful wife that is just perfect for me. And you that know me, it takes somebody perfect to work with me, right? I mean, you see, y'all know guys and people you see in college or people you know, and you're like, that girl never find anybody. I mean, I'm sorry, that girl will never find anybody. I mean, guys, you look at another guy and go, man, I feel sorry for him. He will never find a wife. There's no way. Look at him. Or, I mean, he's just weird, he acts funny or whatever, and like, no way. And then somehow God brings people in their lives. That's me. I might have been the guy that said, Jeff will never find anybody. But I did pretty good. And I thank God for it. And my wife still don't know it. I shouldn't tell her. But it took 20 seconds of faith, 20 seconds of reaching out and getting out of my comfort zone and making a decision. Guys, more than likely, whether you're in college or wherever you are in a few months or years, you're going to have to make tough decisions. Good decisions, but tough decisions. I mean, to decide to follow God, if you have already, to decide to follow God is one of the toughest decisions you'll ever make. It is the best decision, granted, but a tough decision to decide that I want to follow that man from Galilee, that I want to follow a Jewish carpenter, and I believe everything he ever said. It is really tough to say, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to go after that. It can be tough at times. It's kind of like the bully at school challenging you to a fight you can't win. But with Jesus, we have a bigger bully standing behind us who's on our side, and you can't lose. I don't know if you guys have heard it or not, but Bob Knowlton has been bad for years about starting fights. Even to this day, he'd just soon go up at the gas station down at Riverview and start a fight with someone. But he only does it if Sharon's in the truck with him to back him up, to get his back, if you will. And so he braggingly goes off and said, "We ain't scared of you." And Sharon is like Tonto in Lone Ranger. When they come up on that big group of Indians, Lone Ranger hops off his horse and says, "We come in peace." And Tonto says, "What you mean, we, white man?" That's what Sharon does to Bob. "What do you mean, we? We ain't scared of you. You started the fight, you finish it." But he knows Sharon will help him out, hook him up, and take care of his light work for him. But we have a big bully behind us that has our back, that'll give us courage, guys, that'll push us a little bit when we're uncomfortable, when we're just, I don't want to go. And you feel like you're just being slid across the carpet and pushed across the linoleum because you don't want to go. You don't want to make that decision. You don't want to, it's going to be a tough career choice. It's going to be hard 4 years of college. Man, if I have to make that decision, it's tough to do that. But I know in the end it's going to pay off. I know in the end it's going to reap big time rewards. But right now it's not easy to make that decision. And a lot of us, unfortunately, a lot of us adults will say, "Man, if I had to do it over again, I would have made the tough decision and I would do it again. And I would make it, I would make that decision. And I would say yes to the tough." Because in the end, that's what pays off. It's saying yes on the front end of things so that on the back end of things, they're more glorious and successful because of what you did. It's not easy to go through 13 years of school, is it? Think about it. 13 years of your life you've spent in school, sitting behind desk, doing reports, writing essays, studying history, doing math for crying out loud, adding letters. That still doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, for years you're doing all this stuff, and you're like, "I don't ever use this." And by the way, I still haven't used algebra. Just saying. It's tough to do that. When I graduated from college, they used to do these things on top of your hat. Did anybody ever write on top of your hat that you graduated with? No? Well, now it's the fad. You can look on Pinterest or wherever. Now they're writing all over the top of their hats, different stuff. There was some guys with airplane wings at CIA that had on top of their hat. I guess they're going to be a pilot. But they do all sort of stuff on top of their hat. And there was, my friends were graduating magna cum laude, summa cum laude. And people ask me, "Jeff, what did you graduate?" "Thank the Lordy." That's the only way. Because it was tough. I didn't have a photographic memory. Ever how that works. I had kids in front of me that were making 98s in class and were getting mad because they didn't make 100. And I'm like, "Dude, are you killing me? I mean, serious? You're mad at a 98? I would give $25 for a 68. Because it was tough for me and I had to earn it. I had to work hard for it. And some of us are gifted in different ways. All of us are not created the same. We're not, regardless of that quote we hold on to, all are created equal. We're not created equal. We have different loves, different likes, different abilities, different gifts. Some are strong, some are weak, and different areas. But we have to find out what we're going to do with that and use it with all of our might. If it's music, go at it with all of your might in music. If it's nursing, go at it with nursing. And give yourself to it and do it all for the glory of God. Whatever it is God's called you to do, pursue it with 100%. And God will bless it in the end. Look with me in the book of Romans real fast. I promised I'd be short and I have lied right here in the pulpit. Romans 8. Romans 8, and look, and beginning in verse 31. I want you to hold on to this verse. Remember it, write it down, whatever you need to do. Verse 31 and following. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Okay, I'll say that one more time. Did you get it? If God is for us, pray tell me who has the bravery, who has the might, who has the strength, who has to get up and go, who in the world has the nerve to go against us? There's no need to worry about it because God is for us. He's saying, if he's for you, you've got Sharon in your pickup truck, Bob. If he's for you, you've got the big bully behind your back all the time. You don't have to worry about what comes against you. He says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? How can that possibly happen? He says, who shall separate us? Shall tribulation? And all of God's people said, no. Shall distress? And all of God's people said, no. Shall persecution? Shall famine? Shall nakedness, danger, or sword? No. Because God is for us. Just rest in that a minute. God is for me. He's not against me. He's not trying to rub it in. He's trying to rub it out. He's not trying to make you mad. He's trying to make you glad. He's not there to hurt you. He's here to heal you. He's not here to confuse you. He's here to make things clear for you. Guys, these things I want to give you. These six things I want you to remember. Number one, trust God and leave the consequences to him. These are things that I wish I had heard when I was your age, that I heard later on when I was in college by great men of God, be it Charles Stanley or whoever, that I listened to and allowed them to groom me and to mentor me via the radio and hearing these things. Number two, and this is from Dr. Charles Stanley, he says, fight your battles on your knees in prayer. When you come against an enemy, when you come against a difficult situation, don't use your fist. Don't use your intellect. Don't use your friends. Don't use the posse that you're put together. Don't use the phone. Use your knees. Pray about it. You'll change yourself and you'll change the world if you'll begin fighting your battles on your knees. Number three, get involved in ministry in some place and somehow. Plug into a ministry somewhere. God used for me and Tiffany the Baptist Student Union when we were in college. He could use a lot of different student unions and Christian organizations and life groups and be it the Navigators or other ministries that are involved in your college campus. But whatever you do, start serving. You got to kick the ball down the street. Sometimes you just have to pick up the ball and kick it down the street and make something happen for the glory of God and for your good. Because God moves a ship better when it's moving than he does when it's sitting still, right? It's easier to steer. And God steers our lives when we're moving, when we're doing something, when we're plugged into a church, when we're serving in a ministry, when we're getting involved in a small group or a class. Get involved with someone, somebody in a way of serving in some way. Next is build relationships and friends with new people. I know it's hard. It's still difficult to meet new people because why would we? We've got friends. But God calls us to leave our friends and to go to other places and to do other things with new people. And now my phone's messing up, so it just restarted. My last challenge to you is be crazy for God. Do something crazy for God. And the reason I say crazy is because the world's going to look at you like you are crazy. But do something crazy for God and know that he's behind you in everything you do. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, open our hearts. Take your word and plant it deep, deep within us. Use us. Use these guys for Mac and Rachel and Daniel and Seth and Amanda and Caleb and Ben. I bless you guys in Jesus' name to go and to ask the question, what's next?